The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is your afternoon All Local.
Crime in Dallas is falling, except in one place.
The Public Safety Committee heard that the city continues to buck national trends for major cities and has seen a drop in violent crime.
Our overall crime rate as of September 30th is down 10.14%. The two biggest factors are going to be a decrease in aggravated assaults of 9.2% and homicides have just decreased 27%.
Major Nathan Swires says the one area they're seeing an increase, though, business robberies. Councilwoman Gay Donnell Willis is urging the department to look at technology as a deterrent, especially for mom-and-pop stores that might not be able to afford it.
See if there are some ways that we could bring some sort of technology that's out there to help deter these things to where it's just not going to happen in the first place. Because when it starts to happen, it can just go wrong.
There have been 53 fewer murder victims in 2024. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Firefighters in Fort Worth working to put out a house fire this afternoon. It's in Alamo Heights, south of I-30. Two people die in a fiery wreck in Mesquite. Police said they went speeding along North Town East Boulevard, hit a curb, lost control, and hit a tree in the median. And a car burst into fire. They found two people inside after they put out the fire. We've been talking about the lines for early voting, but you still have time to cast your ballot. Got till Friday. Secretary of State says around a third of the people in Texas have already voted. We talked to some people in Fort Worth.
Because they're handing out all sorts of advertisement, which is not correct.
They don't think about that part. A lot of people don't understand how it works. So it makes a difference.
Turnout in Tarrant County, about 30% so far. 29% in Dallas County, 40% in Collin County, 42% in Denton County. And again, early voting runs through Friday. And in Collin County, they're expecting a busy end.
More than 40% of registered voters have already done their civic duty.
We've voted over 292,000 voters in person in Collin County.
And Elections Administrator Bruce Sherbet says that's very similar to 2020 numbers.
We're tracking to be what you would expect for a presidential election. It's always a good turnout.
So far, things have been smooth.
We haven't had any real incidents at all. We've had a few electioneering complaints.
But watch for lines to get longer as the week comes to an end. Sherbet expects a turnout of 75 to 80% in the county. From the 24-Hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
One day after Attorney General Ken Paxton asks the Supreme Court to step in against a state lawmaker trying to get a new trial for convicted killer Robert Roberson, Paxton now demanding that he resign. Roberson was minutes from being put to death earlier this month when the Texas Supreme Court ruled he could be subpoenaed by a Texas committee after supporters argued he did not kill his 2-year-old daughter. State Representative Jeff Leach of Plano is the chair of the committee and reached out to the Court of Criminal Appeals judge asking that she change her recent vote, saying Roberson deserves a new trial. The judge reported Leach immediately. He put out a statement admitting he was wrong in sending the judge the text message. But now the attorney general wants him to resign.
Donald Trump going to be campaigning in the suburbs of Philadelphia and then later in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which could be interesting. That is the heart of what they call Pennsylvania's Latino belt.
You know, I actually know somebody from Allentown, or she was born there. She doesn't live there anymore.
That's a good Billy Joel song, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's check in right now with Kelly Meyer, News Nation Washington correspondent. She's with us right now. She's been covering the campaign. All right, are you you going to be with the former president in the Philly suburbs today? Or which of these events are you going to be covering?
I'm actually in Washington, D.C., so I will be covering Vice President Kamala Harris and her speech on the Ellipse. I'm actually walking there right now down the National Mall. So it is a prominent place in Washington, D.C. The backdrop will be the White House. And the point of it, the campaign says, is to really draw for those watching the picture and paint the picture of what might be at stake or who might be in the White House come next year behind that resolute desk and who do they want to see behind that desk.
So doing this at the Ellipse, is this her Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I would say so. And even, I guess I was kind of comparing the New York City Madison Square Garden moment to Texas on Friday because, you see, they kind of switched places. It was a Democratic presidential candidate in deep red Texas, and then you have a Republican presidential candidate in deep blue New York. So, or at least New York City. So it was, that to me seemed like the contrast and sizable crowds for both of them, 20,000 at each spot, really. So I think this may be more. I mean, they just increased the permit here on the National Mall from 20,000 to 40,000. So they definitely at least are expecting around 20,000 people.
Trump hitting the Atlanta suburbs yesterday. He's back in Philly today. How key are the suburbs for him?
Yeah, they're crucial, the suburbs, because generally the cities are ones that go for the Democratic candidate. You know, Philadelphia, Atlanta, they generally go for the Democrat. But for those suburbs, they could go either way. And we've seen both Harris out in those suburbs in Bucks County, Chester County. He's there in those suburbs today, and he has had an issue with suburban voters, specifically suburban women in the past, so he's really trying to pick that up, and that way they could drive up their numbers, or he can drive up his numbers in the suburbs to kind of compete against those turning out, those Democrats turning out in the cities like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
We mentioned a lot of Latinos in Pennsylvania, Puerto Ricans in particular. How has the Trump campaign been responding to the criticism of some of the off-color comments made Sunday in New York City?
Yeah, so that's referring to the comedian that came out ahead of his remarks at Madison Square Garden that referred to the island, the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, as a floating island of garbage, and quickly got criticized by the Harris campaign on Twitter and others. Bad Bunny, a Puerto Rican celebrity, retweeting it, and J-Lo, and things like that, and then coming out and endorsing Harris. So the Trump campaign is distancing themselves from that comment, saying they didn't know any idea of what he was going to say, but there is reporting that the campaign did know because they took out another inflammatory word referring to Harris out of the speech, but they didn't take the Puerto Rico joke out of there.
All right, Kelly, we look forward to hearing more from you. We'll check in again tomorrow. The Ellipse, that is right in front of the White House, and that is where Kamala Harris will be speaking this evening in Washington. And that was Kelly Meyer, News Nation Washington correspondent, with us here on KRLD, and we're just 1 week away. Whether we like it or not, AI, I mean, we know this, it's not going away. It's here in full force. And we do hear a lot of people concerned that it's going to take their jobs away. But what if you could learn to work with it instead of against it? That is the subject of a piece in the Washington Post. It's just out under the headline, Meet the Super Users Who Tap AI to Get Ahead at Work. Now, the reporter who wrote this, Danielle Abril, covers technology and its impact on workers for the Post. And she joins us right now on KRLD. So tell me, what is a super user? How would we define that?
Yeah, so super users are really the people who turn to AI every day, several times a day. Most of these folks are literally barely doing any tasks without some kind of AI assistance. They're usually looking to AI to assist them in one way or other, or asking, can I do this task with the assistance of AI?
Every time there's an advancement in technology, and boy, this has been coming at us so fast, there's always resistance, right? I mean, there always has been. I remember when our newsrooms, where they took away the typewriters and we first became computerized. That's how old I am. But there's always been that resistance, right?
Entirely so. And in all fairness, with AI, the resistance is somewhat well-founded, right? It's not that clear that AI is good or bad or perfect or not. It's kind of nuanced and kind of complex. The technology, obviously, for these super users in some ways are aiding them, or they feel like they're being more productive or able to do things they couldn't do before. But there's still some concerns, right? AI can still be very inaccurate. There's some issues about privacy, especially if you're not using enterprise-grade AI, which has all the security measures in place. And then there's even like the bigger fears of, you know, could this technology eventually replace me? It's, as you mentioned, advancing so quickly that people are worried that, you know, if this keeps going the way it's going, are you going to need me someday?
You know, employers are always telling their employees, look, it's not going to replace you. We're just doing this to, as an added bonus, this is to help you do your job. So what are some of the jobs that AI can really benefit users with?
Yeah, it was really interesting talking to the super users because the way they're using it, you know, when I think of generative AI, I'm like, oh, I guess it could help me write an email or, you know, summarize something I don't want to read. And yes, they are obviously using that for the basic tasks, but they're also doing some more complex things that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. For example, they're actually using AI to teach themselves how to train AI bots to do the things they want. So they might say things like, what do you need to know to be able to set up a system where you only serve me this every time I ask for it or whatever? And these custom bots are set up to do repetitive tasks. So maybe they have to fill out the same forms every day, or they have to write a certain thing every day. They have to write meeting minutes every day, or they have to, you know, some people ghostwrite. Parts of their job is ghostwriting for other people in the company. So they train these custom bots on those people's voices or on their own voice to be like, write me up a quick, you know, a quick speech, blah, blah, blah. They go back and edit it real quick. But those custom bots are trained already to do the task so that you don't have to be, you know, a wizard at prompt engineering to know how to ask the question. It's already set up for you. So when you go to do the thing, it knows that you're there to do the thing. So complex things like that. And then, you know, analyzing large sets of data and even teaching them how to do new skills. So one of the users that we talked to actually asked AI to help them build a really complex Excel sheet. And they were like, if I wanted the rows to be this and I wanted the columns to do that, what would the formulas be if I wanted each cell to tell me the total of this and minus that, whatever? And all those complex formulas were given and built, and all of a sudden, he not only was able to build his complex Excel sheet, but he had the skills to build more complex Excel sheets in the future.
If you learn to coexist with it now, could that help your job security down the road? Because I'm thinking of a boss, maybe, you know, I've got to cut someone, I'm going to keep the person who's more comfortable with it as opposed to the person who's been resisting it.
I think a lot of experts buy into that, right? That the more you know, the better off you are. You, especially just using it and knowing how to use it and knowing its flaws, because the more you use it, the more you're like, oh, this is good at this and it's probably bad at this. So if you have that expertise already in mind, even just to advise people on, no, we shouldn't be using AI for these functions, or we should maybe consider using it for these. Yeah, it's going to put you in a better place, in a better position to be able to work with the future. That said, should you be totally relying on it? That's where it gets murky. We do have experts who say your over-reliance on it could actually cause you to lose some of the skills you have, or maybe not gain new skills that you should gain. So it is an interesting balance that, you know, workers have to really consider.
Very interesting. That is technology reporter Danielle Brill with the Washington Post.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.